Welcome to today's message. It's a unique one, I think. So the origins of it is I was in service last week, and just a unique situation where we're at the end of worship. Rustin's leading worship, and he gives this word about distraction, and then we sing a song called God of Revival. And just us focusing on God doing what he's done in the past, what we see through the Bible, doing it again in greater measure. And I just felt like this whisper that was like Elijah in the cave. And I know the story of Elijah after Mount Carmel, where he's won this tremendous victory, where it's a showdown on top of the mountain that overlooks Megiddo, the valley beneath. And I've actually been there, and you can see all of northern Israel. It's really beautiful, and the top of Mount Carmel isn't that big, so you know exactly the place that you were standing is where that showdown took place, where Elijah was used by God. He challenged the prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal, to a showdown where they each built an altar. And in the altars were built out of rock and stone, and they put an animal on top. And the deal was this. It was like a bet. Like, whoever prays down fire from their God, from heaven, and consumes the altar, we don't have a match, we don't have a lighter, there's nothing. We're just going to pray, and whatever God answers by fire and burns up the sacrifice on the altar, that is the one true God. So the prophets of Baal go first, 450 of them, and nothing happens. Elijah's making fun of them. I love that passage in scripture because he's literally just, he's ribbing them terribly. Like, hey, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on the toilet. Like, where's your God at? And they give up. They cut themselves. They're bleeding all day. They give up. And then at the end, Elijah says, now it's my turn. They're in the middle of a drought, and yet he takes barrels full of water and pours it all over the altar, all over the sacrifice, so it's sopping wet. And then he prays a prayer, Lord, show us who you are. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he prays. And then fire comes down from heaven and consumes this sacrifice. Well, like any good showman, like there's like thousands of people around. So the whole nation of northern Israel is there. The nation of Israel is watching this showdown. And when they see that the God of Israel has answered and burned up this sacrifice, they immediately turn because Elijah says, hey, get those boys. And they kill all the prophets of Baal because they've been proven to be fake and false and idolaters. And it's this huge victory. The whole nation of Israel has now turned back to God. They've had a recognition of who God is, and God has shown up in a huge way. See, there's only one problem. Those 450 prophets, they were employed by the king of Israel, King Ahab, who was the worst king that Israel had ever had. He's a terrible king. He was far from God. His wife was the infamous Jezebel, who was wicked and terrible. The worst king that Israel ever had was Ahab. And he was employing all of these false prophets. So when Elijah killed all of those prophets, immediately Ahab hears about it and sends word, today I am going to kill you, Elijah. Your life is over. And so there are these two conflicting things that are taking place. God has shown up and answered his prayer. And then he hears this word from Ahab, who's really his enemy. And Ahab says, I'm going to kill you. And though I'm sure he rejoiced the moment that the fire fell down and they defeated the prophets of Baal, right at the end of this, like, he ends up running for his life, scared to death of Ahab. And in chapter 19, verse 9, this is where we pick up the story. So I heard that whisper while the song's going on, Elijah. And then I hear very clearly the voice. Like it was just, I just knew it. Like it was the Lord. Like 1 Kings 18. And I'm like, I know the Bible really well. But like in that moment, I'm like, wait, 1 Kings 18? Is there even a chapter 18 in 1 Kings? I don't know if this is for real or not. Like, okay, let me pick this up. I'm sure this is just me. And I open up to 1 Kings 18, and it is the story that I just recounted. And then I look at first, and I'm like, oh, well, that's not what God told me about Elijah. And then I look and see, and I know the story. I know it's 1 Kings 19. Must be the chapter where we read this story, where God spoke to me, Elijah in the cave. So I titled this message, Where Are You? Where are you? After this tremendous and unbelievable victory, Elijah finds himself in a cave because he heard the proclamation of Ahab that said, I'm going to kill you. So he runs to a cave. Verse 9, he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I've zealously served the Lord Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. He forgot. He forgot because of this dart in his soul that was the word of the enemy that said, you are going to die by my hand. He forgot that he had just been up on the mountaintop, that all of the enemy's prophets were killed, and the whole nation was now serving God. But I'm telling you this because he was in the middle of the place of spiritual warfare, and he was in the place of fear. This is why God is asking him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Why is he asking him that? Because there was just a tremendous victory. And I want you to know something, that every time there's a victory in your life, the enemy will always, almost always, come after you to counter what it is that God has done inside of you. And it's going to be a dart, it's going to be a word or a situation or a circumstance that causes you to forget what it is that God has done. Listen to me. Like, when we read the Bible, we know this, that we are to live in the present in faith and trust and of God, that we are to look to the future and know that he says, I know the plans I have for you, not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and a hope. That's a life verse for me. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Like, we're called to live in the present and in faith, that we're called to look to the future with faith and hope and knowing that God's at work. But can I tell you something? There is a theme all throughout the Bible. And that theme is remember. Remember over and over from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In fact, Jesus even says, do this in remembrance of me. And we take communion together, recognizing the deliverance that he brings us, the salvation. We are called to remember back. And in this moment, this is where Elijah is. He is in the place of fear. That's why God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? So here's my question. Where are you? Are you in the place of fear? I'm going to read what Elijah says again. I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty. That's absolutely true. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down their altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Mostly true. Because the people had broken down the altars. They had broken their covenant. And they had killed lots of prophets. But listen to me, it wasn't true that he was the only one. He just thought he was the only one because that's all that he saw. And he also forgot about what just happened. Listen to me, the tactic of the enemy is to keep you in the place of fear. He's going to speak lies to you, hoping that they are darts that stick in your soul that keep you from remembering what God has done so that you can't see what he's calling you to right now. And you'll never, if you don't know what he's calling you to right now, you'll never be able to get to the future that he has for you. And so listen to me, like, I want you to get, like, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing right where you are? Are you remembering the times that God has met you? Are you living with hope for the future, stepping out in faith to see that happen? Where are you? What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? Are you playing casual with your walk with God, the relationships that he's put around you? God tells him something. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. So what happens? God tells him, go stand outside of this cave. Boom, there's a hurricane. He experiences a hurricane, but God's not in it. There's an earthquake. He experiences earthquake, but God's not in that either. Then there's a fire. He experiences like this tremendous forest fire, but there's God's not in that either. And then he hears this little whisper. And so he steps outside, he covers up his face. What does that mean? That means, like, if we just look at the news, what are we seeing globally? Like, we know in South Louisiana, like, we've been through a hurricane. Like, we've heard about earthquakes because they're all in the news, forest fire all in the news. And look, Elijah was even wearing a face mask, so we can relate very much to what it is that he's going through. And here's the whisper to Elijah. Yes, he was in the place of fear when God asked him the first time, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he sees these supernatural events of a hurricane. It's not God, but it's still a big, massive event. There's an earthquake. God's not in that, but it's still a big deal. There's a huge fire on the mountain, but God's not in that. God was in the whisper, and the whisper asked this question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Because God will ask you a second time. He will give you another chance. What are you doing? Maybe you've been in the place of fear. Maybe that dart that's stuck inside of you has caused you to forget everything about where God has met you in the past, where you've seen him meet other people. Maybe it's clouded your present and you can't see the truth clearly and you can't even think about the future because it's scary. God will show up a second time. A second time. What are you doing here, Elijah? Here's Elijah's response. See if it sounds familiar. I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. That sound familiar? Because it is verbatim the answer to the question that was asked twice. It's the first answer in the place of fear. He said the same thing. Now, do you know where he is? He's not just in the place of fear. He's in the place of defeat. He's seen the supernatural hand of God and that mighty wind and that earthquake and that fire. And he's even heard the whisper of the voice of the very voice of God saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? How do I know he's defeated? Because he regurgitates a lie. Because he can't see anything else. It's like he's lost the battle. And I think that's where a lot of Christians end up in this cycle. Like, they know God's moved in the past, but doesn't really have much bearing on where they are. They're in a place of fear. And then you get trapped in this pattern, even though you see God move and you see it all around you. Like, you can even hear his voice, but you end up unable to view your circumstances any differently. So there's no change on your part. God, where are you? Man, he was at work. Where are you? He just repeats it. And so many Christians, and they start with fear. Listen, I want to remind you of something, that the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear. And the tactic of the enemy is to do anything he can to scare you. He scares Elijah. Today is your last day on the face of this earth. And it's this supernatural thing that just sticks inside of him. Listen, you know you're in a spiritual battle when your emotions are just over, like it doesn't even make sense. They're so strong. Like it's so bright and so vibrant. It's the best way to describe it. And that is what the enemy wants to do, to get you to the place of like fear, so that you freak out and you try to control your circumstances. But if he can get you to stay in that pattern, even though you see God at work, he's now got you in the place of defeat. It doesn't sound like a very hopeful message. And Elijah, the great man of God, the prophet of God, who faced an evil king, the evil king's prophets, called down fire from heaven in a prayer, wiped out all of the wickedness. He's at the place of believing this lie that the people of Israel are terrible. Well, they were, but God did a work in him. Where are you? Are you at the place of defeat? Because listen to me, if you're at the place of defeat, you'll never be able to see people clearly. You will always see them through the lens of the pain of the past and what they've done to you and other people. That's why he says, they killed all of the prophets. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. That's a place of wounding, a place of hurt. It's a place of fear, but if you live in it, it becomes a prison of defeat. And here's God's epic response. The Lord told him, go back the same way you came. Travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Meholath, to replace you as my prophet. Here's the thing. We will all experience fear because the enemy is an equal opportunity fearmonger. He knows what to tell you to put you in the place of fear. Unfortunately, most of us will probably end up, honestly, all of us will at some point, operating in a repetitive manner where we allow fear to have root in us so that we're living not in the victory and the purpose and plan that God has for us, but in the place of defeat. We don't have to stay there. How do we get out? Like, where are you? Are you in the place of fear? Are you in that pattern of defeat? Are you in the place of faith? Because as kind of crazy and messed up as the situation with Elijah was, he ended well. Go back the same way you came. In other words, go back. You're going to have to, like, you can't avoid the defeat and you can't avoid the fear. You have to go back through it. You have to go back to where you came from and anoint Hazael to be king of Aram, Jehu to be king of Israel, Elisha to be the new prophet. Because faith is always action, and it's always about you stepping out so that other people can step into their destiny. And it's hard. Like, I can do that. Like, I can go anoint, I'm going to anoint Hazael king of Aram. I can do it. Jehu king of Israel. That's really cool. But then it got really personal. Hey, Elijah, you're going to anoint Elisha now to be the next prophet. And he saw that his time was limited. My prayer for you is that you step into the place of faith. And though the darts of the enemy of fear and defeat may be sticking in your soul, that by the Holy Spirit you go no, and you pull those out by going back where you've come from, remembering what it is that God's done, and stepping out in obedience to what he's calling you to, knowing that he's always calling you to reach out to others to fulfill and step into the place of destiny that God has for them. And when you do that, you ultimately are so fulfilled that you don't even have to be in the place of ministry anymore, because you recognize God's purpose and plan for you is to bring people to the place of their ministry. I hope that makes sense, guys. I hope we get it, because I want you to know this, that God is for you and he's with you. And he's not just a God of second chances. He's a God of third and fourth chances and fifth chances. And thank the Lord, I know I need it. So maybe this message was for you. You've been in a place of fear or defeat. God's calling you to faith, and it begins by stepping out in obedience, receiving what he has for you, redemption, a new day, salvation, saved from yourself, saved from those cycles, saved from your sin because of Jesus. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. If you say, this message was for me, I need to surrender to him, just pray with me. Father, I turn to you. I receive your forgiveness. I lay down my life before you. I give you my fear. I give you my doubt. I give you my defeats. I even give you my victories and my good things. Jesus, I know that you paid the price on the cross for me. I surrender my life to you. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that, let us know what's going on. I want to connect you with people that can help you grow, give you resources that can help you understand God's purpose and plan for you. Great being with you today. Look forward to seeing you soon. God bless.